الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. I testify that there is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon Muhammad, his noble and pure family, and his companions, and those who follow in righteousness until the day of resurrection. Now we come to the, after the discussion of last night, where Shaykh al-Islam was emphasizing the principle, the Quranic principle, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his deen prevail by its evidences and proofs over falsehood through one of the great means, and that is having opposition to the deen, meaning through the opposition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his deen prevail. This was the point that was discussed last night. And then he said here now, he continues, and he said, وَكَانَ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ نَصْرِ الدِّينِ وَظُهُورِهِ, and from the causes and the reasons behind the victory of the deen and its prevalence is that a book, and now he's going to tell us as to the reason why he wrote this book, this classical book of his, which is called Al-Jawab al-Sahih, correct response to those who altered the religion of Jesus. He said the reason behind that is that a book came from Cyprus, and this book was representing a proof for the Christians, and a proof by their scholars that their religion is the truth, and that they have evidences and proofs to represent in this respect. And that necessitated the response so as to provide a decisive addressing for their claims, and to make clear the truth from falsehood, and thus be beneficial for those who have thought, the people who have thought and contemplate, and to make that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to make that apparent and ascending. And I will mention, he said, every matter that they have raised, and I will respond to every chapter of theirs as properly and as needed, in basics as well as in details. And the thing that they had mentioned in this letter of theirs is their most reliable reference that their scholars depend upon in this time, meaning his time, and before this time. And we found that this letter of theirs was also being, or was dependent, their scholars before depended on the same matters raised in this letter, and that they exchanged it, their scholars exchanged this letter between them, and that copies of the old ones are present. And this letter is attributed to a bishop by the name of Bulus, meaning Paul. And he, by the way, is not Paul, the one we know of, the Paul who corrupted the Christian faith, But this bishop name is Paulus, meaning Paul, and he was the bishop of the city of Sidon. The city of Sidon. And this city of Sidon is in Lebanon, as you know. It's about 40 kilometers south of the capital Lebanon, the capital of Lebanon, which is known as Beirut. This city of Sidon is to the south of Beirut, about 40 kilometers, which is less than 1 hour drive now. He lived in the 20th century of the Christian era, the person who wrote the letter, and he was born in Antioch. And he has written other treaties, some of which are found now, and all they defend in defense of Christianity. So this letter therefore belonged to this Paulus al-Rahib, the bishop, Paul, the bishop of the city of Sidon, and he wrote it to some of his friends, and he had treaties, Shaykh al-Islam, in defending Christianity. He, this person Paul, the bishop, mentioned that when he traveled to the land of Ar-Rum, the land of the Romans, and the Romans is a generation, we know, like we say the Arabs and the Persians, etc. This is called the Romans. They are from the son of, the generation goes to the son of Rome, the son of Isa, the son of Ishaq. They had vast control of land, and it used to be called Bilad al-Rum, the land of the Romans, to the east, and in the north, towards Russia, and towards Turkey, and to the south, towards Syria and Alexandria, and to the west, towards the sea, the Mediterranean, and Andalusia, meaning currently Spain. Antioch was their religious as well as their political home, capital, until the Muslims drove them away far from that place, from Antioch. So Shaykh al-Islam now is saying that this bishop, when he traveled to the land of the Romans, and to Constantinople as well, and to Romia. To Romia, which means this is the Rome which we know of. And there he met their honorables and spoke to their chiefs and their scholars. He himself, Paul, who wrote this letter, magnified the importance of this letter, and he named this letter of, or this treatise of his, theological book of the chief, speaking about himself, magnifying himself, proving the correct creed and the correct opinion. This is what he called his letter. Now, as to the content, and this is what really matters now, as to the content, then Shaykh al-Islam said, وَمَضْمُونُ ذَلِكَ سِتَّةُ فُصُولٍ. And the content of that letter centers upon six chapters. The first chapter, let's make note of them, inshallah, if someone could write them, that would be really very important, because therefore when people come here, when we refer to the reason why Shaykh al-Islam wrote this book, then we will remind ourselves of the points raised in that book or that letter of Paul, and the response of Shaykh al-Islam to each and every one of these points or these chapters raised by Paul, the Bishop of Sidon. The first one, he said, the first chapter, Al-Faslu Al-Awwal, their claim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not sent to them, but to the people of ignorance of the Arabs, those who were, meaning ignorance, Ahlul Jahiliyyah, the people of ignorance, meaning before Islam. And their claim that the Quran testifies for that as well as the intellect. So this is the first chapter of theirs. So I repeat, in the first chapter, Shaykh al-Islam is putting the content of every chapter, that they claim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لم يبعث إليهم, was not sent to them, but rather to the pagan Arabs. And their claim that in this Quran, in our Quran, there is proof to testify for their claim, to testify for the fame, and also as well as the intellect stands to support such a claim. Okay, the second chapter. Okay, do you want me to write them down? Or the second chapter is their claim that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised their religion and what they are upon in the Quran. That he in the Quran praised their religion and that matter which they are upon, and that necessitated, oh, it breaks when I work for and that necessitated that they stay steadfast on their religion. That they stay steadfast on their religion. Their third point, or their third chapter, is their claim that the prophecy of the former prophets, like in the case of the Torah, Az-Zabur, the Psalms, and the Injil, the Gospel, and other than that, from the prophethood, تشهد لدينهم, testifies for the truthfulness of their religion. Truthfulness of the concept of aqanim, the concept of the fundamental person. And the concept of tathlith, of trinity, and the concept of ittihad, and we talked about ittihad. And Ittihad, we spoke about it last night. They claim thus that this is true, and therefore they have to hold to it and not to divert from that, as long as there is no shara, no sharia to lift it, nor there is any intellect to repel it. This is their third claim, that the prophecy of the prophets before testify for the truthfulness of their deen, of their religion, like in the Torah, the Psalms, and the Injil. And the Torah, as we know, is that which Allah has sent down upon Musa alayhi salam, and Az-Zabur, the Psalms, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent upon David alayhi salam, and Injil upon Isa, upon Jesus alayhi salam. The currently available one now, the Torah that exists in our now, in our times now, we know that has been altered, as Shaykh al-Islam himself will speak about that later, but just to give a briefing on what is the Torah. The Torah in origin is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent upon the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. That which exists nowadays from these books is something called Al-Ahd Al-Qadim, referring the Torah as the Old Testament. And this is divided into three parts. And these three parts are the Torah, which comprises the five books, the books of Genesis, At-Takwin, Wal-Khuruj, Exodus, واللاويين Leviticus, والعدد numbers, والتثنية Deuteronomy. And the second is that the books of the former prophets, like that of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, etc. said the writings, and these are three types: the Psalms and the Proverbs, the five Song and Songs and so forth, the books of Daniel, Ezra, Chronicles first, etc., second. Those are from 39 books altogether comprise this Old Testament. And the New Testament, and it refers to a group of references. I can't write any totally everything because this will take a lot of time. If someone could help, it would be really good if they can follow up on, in summary at least. So I will try to go slowly, inshallah, as much as possible. As to the New Testament, it refers to a group of an Anjil, of Gospels. And an Anjil, by the way, is a Greek, they say the Anjil is originally a Greek word. It means al-halawan, and it refers to the sweets to be offered to someone who brings you a glad tidings. So it meant to be, therefore, the glad tidings itself. And this comprises 27 books, and it's divided into three groups. First, the historical ones, and these include the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the books of messengers which were written by Luke. And this tells stories, historical stories, regarding the life of Isa, of Jesus, and his miracles, and so forth. Secondly, the teaching books, and these comprise 21 letters. Paul, the one who corrupted Christianity, wrote 14 letters of these, and 3 by John, 2 by Peter, 1 by Jacob, and 1 by Judah. And the third category is the visions or dreams of that of John. It really resembles dreams, yet it's claimed that he saw it in consciousness, and it talks about Jesus after him being risen. And these are really delusions and tales. So this is just some references regarding what constitutes the Torah and what constitutes the Injil and the Zabur. So Shaykh al-Islam, now we continue with Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, that in the fourth chapter, they claim that their concepts or their creed is verifiable by the intellect, and that Trinity that they believe in also is verifiable by the intellect as well as by textual proofs. This is their fourth chapter. Their fifth chapter, or the fifth chapter in that letter of Paul, and again, this Paul is the Bishop of Sidon. He is not the Paul who corrupted. Inshallah ta'ala, that's good. Inshallah, I'll do that. The fifth chapter, therefore, talks about their claim that they are on the creed of monotheism, and that they give excuses for some terms which may reflect that there could be more than one God, like the term Aqanim. And Aqanim is a plural of the word Uqnum, which it comes from the Syriani language, which is the Syrianic language.
And really, iqnum in the singular refers to a fundamental person, and it's close to the Greek nomos. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So they defend such terminologies, and they say that Muslims have the same things. There are that certain texts where to Muslims or with some Muslims it may indicate tashbih, meaning resemblance of Allah to the creation, or tajseem, declaring that body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a body, and so forth. He says that their claim here is that, yeah, therefore we also have these things, and also you Muslims have similar things regarding the attributes of God, of Allah. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this comes in their chapter, the fifth chapter, and all of that, Shaykh al-Islam, as I said earlier, will respond to them one by one. The sixth point that they made in their chapter is that Jesus, alayhi salam, came after Musa with perfection, the utmost of perfection, and therefore there is no need after Jesus to a new legislation that will exceed the attained goal that occurred with the coming of Jesus. And as such, any sharia, any legislation that comes after Jesus is not acceptable. These are the 6 points. These are the 6 claims, therefore, in the book that necessitated Shaykh al-Islam to respond to. And these points were written by the bishop of Sidon. And Sidon, as you know now, is in Lebanon, and it's an ancient city. The bishop of Sidon wrote these 6 points, and he consulted with the known scholars of Christianity in the East and in the West, and he traveled and met them and comprised this letter of his to, as we mentioned earlier, it contained 6 points. Their first one was their claim that Muhammad ﷺ was not sent to them but to the pagan Arabs, and that there are proofs for this in the Noble Quran, and this is proven intellectually as well, they said. The second claim is that Muhammad ﷺ praised them in the Quran, and their deen in the Quran was praised, and therefore that necessitates that they hold to their deen, to their religion. The third point that it was made by them is that the former prophecies, like that in the Torah and the Zabur, the Psalms, and in the Injil and the Gospel and the like, testify for their creed of Trinity and the like. And also in the fourth point that they made was that their creed is approved by the intellect and also by textual proofs. And the fifth point is that they claim that they are on monotheism. And the sixth point is that there is no need for any further legislation after the coming of Jesus, because with the coming of Jesus there was the utmost perfection, and therefore there is no need after him to have any additional legislation. These points, the contents therefore of the letter of the Bishop of Sidon, was laid down now by Shaykh al-Islam, and you heard it. Now he said, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, he said, وَنَحْنُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَالْمِنَّةِ. Then by the grace and all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shall make it clear that all that they had resorted to as evidences and proofs, whether from the Quran or from the former books or from the former books or the previous books or intellectual, or yes, then they indeed have no proof in any one of that. Rather, the entire books, together with the Quran, with the intellect, are a proof against them, not for them. In fact, he asserted that all that which they take as evidence from the textual proofs of the prophets and from the intellect, all of that stands by itself as evidence against them. And from there, and from there the corruption of their saying shall be made clear, in addition to using all that from the prophetic textual proofs and all measures to nullify these points that they have raised. And he said, and as such we know also that most of what the people of innovation use as proofs from the Book of Allah to support their claims, these textual proofs that they use, they have indeed no proof, and to the contrary, in their essence, they stand against them as proofs against them. Why? Because that which they have are alfadun mutashabiha. Alfadun mutashabiha, meaning they held to unclear wordings which they thought testify for their claims, and they have abandoned and turned away from al-alfaz al-muhkama, the perfect and clear wordings. Together, you know, this is the reason. This is one reason. The second reason is that because of their desires. So they fell into this because of two things. First of all, their following of al-mutashabih, and we will explain this inshallah shortly. I'll write this down. Their following of al-mutashabih, meaning the wordings that are not clear. We will discuss this even further, but just to, for the time being. And the second reason is and diverting or averting or turning away from the al-muhkam, al-muhkam wording, that which is certain and perfect. Perfect and clear wordings and texts, leaving that to take by the mutashabih, that which is not entirely clear. The second reason for that is that because this is also associated with their desires. This is associated with their desires. And he said, وَهَذِهِ حَالُ أَهْلِ الْبَاطِلِ, and this is the case and the, you know, the situation with أهل الْبَاطِلِ, people of falsehood, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained regarding them in Surah An-Najm, chapter 53, please, verse 23. Chapter 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَمَا تَهْوَى الْأَنفُسِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنْ رَبِّهِمُ الْهُدَى. In Surah An-Najm, chapter 53, verse 23. They follow but a guess and that which they themselves desire, whereas there has surely come to them the guidance from their Lord. Barakallah fikum, Abu Mu'ad, Jazakallah khair. MashaAllah, tayyib. This will help, inshaAllah. So they are in a state of ignorance and injustice, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 72 73. وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Verse 33, Surah Al-Ahzab 72 and 73. Truly we did offer the amana, meaning the trust or moral responsibility or honesty and all the duties which Allah had ordained, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, Okay, then this is the point of evidence here. But they declined to bear it and were afraid of it, but man bore it. Verily he was unjust to himself and ignorant of its results. So Shaykh al-Islam then continued to say, the believers whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them from ignorance and from injustice are the followers of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. They are the ones, the followers of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. Okay, brother Abu Mahdi, jazakallah khair. Why? Because the Prophets had been sent with what? With justice and with knowledge. And therefore the ones who follow the Prophets, then they are on this way, on the way of knowledge and justice, contrary to that way of jahl, of ignorance and injustice. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us now about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. In chapter 33, Surah Al-Najm, 53 rather, verse 1 to 4. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, by the star when it goes down or vanishes, Allah is swearing, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى, your companion Muhammad has neither gone astray nor has erred. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, nor does he speak of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, it is only a revelation revealed to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear here that he is not, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is neither gone astray nor he is ignorant. Okay. Alright, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has neither gone astray, nor is he an ignorant, nor is he as well, nor did he err, following his own desire, and that he does not speak of his own desire, rather he is speak based upon the revelation, meaning his uttering is a revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him and inspired. In another verse we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Fath, chapter 48, verse 4, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. He it is who sent down, not this verse, Surah Al-Fath, verse 28, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has sent his messenger Muhammad with guidance, وَدِينَ الْحَقِّ, and the religion of the truth, Islam, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, that he make it Islam superior and prevailing over all religions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all sufficient, and he is as a witness. So this guidance comprises, this is the point that he was making early, comprises العلم النافع, beneficial knowledge. This is the guidance. If someone asks you what is guidance, this is the guidance. Guidance means beneficial knowledge. Second, الدين الحق, mentioned in this verse, the religion of the truth, it comprises righteous deeds. It comprises righteous deeds. And that is built upon justice. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Hadid, verse 25, Surah Al-Hadid, verse 25, وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. Indeed, we have sent our messengers with clear proofs, and revealed with them the scripture and the balance. And this refers to justice, the balance, the justice, that mankind may keep up justice. And we brought forth iron wherein is mighty power. So the end of the verse. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the justice. And the basis of justice due that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that his worship, meaning him being worshipped alone, setting up no rivals with him in worship. Why? Because shirk is a grave injustice. It's in opposition to justice. فَإِنَّ الشِّرْكِ ظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ is a grave injustice. As Luqman told his son, that which we read in the Quran, in chapter Luqman, which is 31, verse 13. يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. O my son, do not set up tribals in Allah in worship. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ, the shirk, joining others in worship with Allah, is a great ظلم, is a great injustice. Is a great injustice. And it is reported in الصحيحين, in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that when this verse revealed, when this verse was revealed, the following verse, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those who believed, this is Surah Al-An'am, let's write this down because this is very important, chapter 6, verse 82, that when this verse, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 82, was revealed, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who believed, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, and they didn't confuse. They confused not their belief with ظُلْم. They confused not their belief with ظُلْم. That became difficult on the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they said, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسُهُ, because they understood the word ظُلْم, and they said, in this context, they said, who's from us who doesn't really wrong himself? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear to them, لَيْسَ هُوَ كَمَا تَظُنُّونَ, it is not that which you think. إِنَّمَا هُوَ الشِّرْكِ, the ظلم here refers to shirk. أَلَمْ تَسْمَعُوا, didn't you hear to the saying of the righteous slave referring to Luqman, which we have the verse said earlier, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, when he admonished his son, saying, O my son, verily joining others in worship with Allah is a great ظلم, is a great injustice. So here it was made clear that the term ظلم in this verse refers to shirk. And he, Shaykh al-Islam, with all these preludes that we are hearing here, لَمَّا كَانَ أَتْبَاعُ الْأَنْبِيَاء, since the followers of the prophets are the people of knowledge and justice. The followers of the prophets are the people of knowledge and justice. Then the addressing of Ahlus Sunnah and Islam, addressing the kuffar, Ahlus Sunnah and Islam also addressing the people of innovation, they address them with knowledge and justice. Not be guessing or that of desires. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, Al-Qudatu Thalatha, justices are three. Two of them are in the fire of hell and one of them in paradise. One of them, a man who knew the truth and judged by it, then he is in paradise. The other knew the truth and judged by that which contrasts it, then he is in the fire of hell. So these are the two who are in the fire of hell. And the third is a man who judged people. No, the first one was in paradise, the second was in the fire of hell, and the second and the third one who is in the fire of hell in the last category is the one who قَضَى لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى جَهْلٍ, he judged people based upon ignorance, then he is in the fire of hell. So we illustrate this hadith therefore as follows. Two are in the fire of hell, and one in paradise. The one in paradise is the one who knew the truth and judged by it, and thus he is in Al-Jannah. As to the other two who are in the fire of hell, the first one is the one who knew the truth and judged by that which opposes it, and that he is in the fire of hell. And the third, and the second is the one rather who ruled based upon injustice, based upon ignorance, and he was in the fire of hell. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and others. So Shaykh al-Islam is now saying from this hadith, if the person who judges amongst people in reference to their wealth, in reference to their blood and their honors, if he is not knowledgeable and just, then he will be from the fire of hell. Then how about the one who judges regarding the sects, regarding the religions, regarding the basics of Iman and the divine knowledge, without knowledge, neither without knowledge nor with justice? So means it by all reasons it should be the case that the judgment should be based upon knowledge and justice. And then he says, take the example of the people of innovation and desires who cling to the mutashabih. Now comes the definition of the mutashabih and what it is. Who cling to the mutashabih, that which is doubtful, and they leave that which is explicitly and perfectly clear from the text, from the prophetic texts. What is al-mutashabih? The general meaning of al-mutashabih comes from tashabuh, which means, in the general sense, it means resemblance of speech and suitability and conformity therein, such that it will testify for the truthfulness. Its parts resemble each other in truthfulness. In fact, in this respect, in this general understanding of the mutashabih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described his book to be as such, to be mutashabih in this general meaning, and we will know the other blameworthy meaning in a while. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Allahu nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan. This is chapter 39, verse 23. Allah has sent down the best of speech, a book, its parts resemble each other in goodness and eloquency and truth. This is known as the general mutashabih. This is known as, and if you want to know what is the meaning of the general mutashabih, or yes, the general meaning of mutashabih, then refer always to this verse, which I wrote earlier, which is cited up there also. Refer to this verse. It means, it refers to the Quran, its parts resemble each other in goodness, eloquence, and in truth. This is the general meaning of the tashabuh al-am, the general tashabuh, the general resemblance. Well, before we go to the muhkam, let's talk about the other type of mutashabih. That which is yani blameworthy, the use of which is blameworthy. It refers to that which cannot stand on its own independently, and it requires clarification by other texts. So from this you will know al-muhkam. From this you will know the muhkam, which is perfect, independent, meaning does not need a clarification. So in short, therefore, the general mutashabih is that which means resemblance, and there is no problem with that. The whole Quran resembles each other. But with respect to the doubtful and unclear matters, this is which is called al-mutashabih. This is a special one, such that in its own, it cannot really give a clear meaning. Rather, it needs a clarification from other texts. And in this case, the way of the scholars, the way of the believers, of the scholars, is that they take this not entirely clear text to that which is muhkam, clearly and independently clear, and therefore deduct the correct understanding and the correct ruling, and there will be no mutashabih anymore. But the people of deviation, as Shaykh al-Islam now is, we refer to him now, he said, they abandon and turn away from al-muhkam as-sarih, from the explicit, and al-muhkam, which is entirely clear from the texts, and they take that part only which is mutashabih. They stick to that measures of mutashabih. So they stick to that measures from where there is a certain resemblance in measures and opinions, and abandon the distinctive differences that prevent from relating and equating things together. Like an example for this, he said, like the condition of the kuffar and the rest of innovators and desire following, who resemble the creator with the created, and the created with the creator, and set up parables. And in this respect, the religion of the Christians is an innovated religion. They innovated it after Al-Masih, after Isa, after Jesus alayhi salam, and they altered the religion of Jesus. And thus they followed that which they innovated. Then after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with the message, kafaru bih, they denied him and they disbelieved in him. So their kufr, their disbelief, and their misguidance came from two angles. First, altering the religion of the first messenger, and this is Jesus alayhi salam. The second, disbelieving the second messenger, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From these two aspects, they committed kufr, disbelief, and they were misguided. In the same manner, the kufr of the Jews, the disbelief of the Jews, took place by means of their altering the rulings of the Torah before the sending of Jesus. Before the sending of Jesus. Then afterwards, what? Denying and disbelieving in Jesus. It's the same thing. So you see the resemblance in the two cases. First with the Jews, they altered the rulings of the Torah before the advent of Prophet Jesus' message, alayhi salam. Then they denied, belied, and disbelieved in Jesus. With respect to the Christians, they altered the religion of Jesus, the first messenger, who was before Muhammad now, and they belied, denied, and disbelieved and the second messenger, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh al-Islam continues to say, and we shall, by the will of Allah, insha'Allah, he said, we shall prove that the creed of Trinity and unity upon which the Christians are, that there is no evidence for that from the Book of Allah, nor from the Injil, nor from the Gospel, or any other source. To the contrary, all of these together, proof otherwise. And that this is not even proven by the intellect. To the contrary, he said, the explicit and correct reasoning is against it. And when it goes with the textual proofs from the prophets, all of that will indicate the opposite of what they have claimed. Also, the general legislations of their religion is innovated. Jesus himself did not legislate. And that their denial of Muhammad and their disbelief in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is their disbelief, this is their kufr known to every Muslim. It is like the kufr of the Jews, it is like the kufr, the disbelief of the Jews, when they disbelieved in Jesus alayhi salam. And that their denial of Muhammad is even more profound. They, the Christians, exaggerate and exceed the limits in their takfir of the Jews far more profoundly than the Jews deserve from takfir. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Jews used to claim that Jesus was a magician, a liar. They even said he was the son of a prostitute. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs about them in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 156, وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا عَظِيمًا. His brother Abu Mu'ad, yes, he is here. This is in chapter 4 verse 156. Okay, this is what the Jews claimed in terms of Jesus alayhi salam. And the Christians, I will write that down, shall we can put it for 156. The Christians claim is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created the heavens and the earth, and to whom judgment and reckoning belongs to, is the one they believed in, being Jesus. And thus, these two nations were in clear contradiction and opposition. And thus, therefore, each nation of them speaks ill about the other by more than it deserves. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 113, وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين لا يعلمون مثل قولهم فالله يحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون. The Jews said that the Christians follow nothing, that is, they are not on the right religion. And the Christians said that the Jews follow nothing, that is, they are not on the right religion. Though they both recite the scripture. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Like unto their word said the pagans, who know not. Allah will judge between them on the day of resurrection about that wherein they have been differing. It is reported from the narration of Muhammad bin Ishaq all the way to Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that he said that when a delegation from Najran, and Najran is a place in the southeast of Arabia, and it's one of the cities of Arabia, and in it is reported that the story of the people of the ditch, as in Surah Al-Buruj, took place. He said that when the Christian delegation from Najran, from this city of Najran, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Jews came, the rabbis of the Jews came, and they disputed before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the rabbis by the name of Rafi' bin Huraymala said to the Christian delegation, "Ma antum ala shay," you are upon nothing. وَكَفَرَ بِعِيسَى وَالْإِنْجِيلِ جَمِيعًا, and he declared his belief in Jesus and in the Injil altogether. One of the Christian delegation responded to the Jews and said, "Ma antum ala shay," and similarly, "you are on nothing." And then he denied the prophethood of Musa, and they kafara bit-Tawrah, and he also denied the Torah and disbelieved in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse which you heard up there. This narration, the narration of the delegation of the Christian delegation from Najran coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an authentic narration. As far as to the rest of the story, this has been reported in Ibn Jarir al-Tabari in his tafsir. So Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah commented that each one of them, from the Jews and the Christians, resort to his book in order to deny the others. So there the Jews, they lie and deny Jesus alayhi salam, yet in their book, however, Allah had took the covenant from them on the tongue of Musa to believe in Jesus after him. Also in the Injil, the same thing regarding Isa's belief in Musa before him, and in that which he brought from the Torah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each one of them disbelieve in that which is in the hands of the other. Qatada, may Allah be pleased with him, rahimahullah, may Allah's mercy be upon him, also stated that in explanation of this verse, when the Jews and the Christians said about each other that they are not upon anything, قالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء, the Jews said that the Christians are upon nothing. He responded Qatada by saying, no, or rather, to the contrary, the beginners, those first ones in Christianity, they were upon something. Rather, however, they innovated and they disputed. And as regards to the saying of the Christians regarding the Jews, وَقَالَتِ النَّصَارَ لَيْسَتِ الْيَهُودُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ, and when the Christians said the Jews are upon nothing, he said no, they were. The first of the Jews were upon something. However, they innovated and they disputed and differed. this statement or these statements by Qatada also was reported in Abi Jalil in the Ibn in the tafsir of Ibn Jarir al-Tabari with a chain whose the men of its transmission are reliable. So the Jews, Shaykh al-Islam continues, the Jews belied and disdained and disbelieved in the religion of the Christians, and they said they were upon nothing. And the Jew and the Christians disbelieved in all that distinguished the Jews from them, even in the legislations in the Torah, which Jesus did not abrogate, yet he ordered them to comply with. They did not believe in this, meaning the Christians. Even they disbelieved in that which Jesus alayhi salam brought from the truth. The Christians, however, exceeded in their takfir of the Jews, exceeded that which they have innovated from extremism and astraying. And there is no doubt that the Jews, when they belied and they denied and they disbelieved in Jesus, they became kuffar. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states about Jesus alayhi salam in Surah Al-Imran chapter 3 verse 55, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ وَرَافِعُكَ إِلَيَّ وَمُطَهِّرُكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَجَاعِلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Chapter 3 verse 55, please. And remember when Allah said, O Jesus, I will take you and raise you to myself and clear you of the false statements regarding Jesus, that Jesus is Allah's son, of those who disbelieve, referring to the Jews, and I will make those who follow you superior to those who disbelieve in the oneness of Allah or disbelieve in some of his messengers like Muhammad, Jesus, Musa, etc. So the point to make here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considered those who disbelieved in him as kuffar. In another verse in Surah As-Saff, chapter 61, verse 14,
قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من أنصاري إلى الله قال الحواريون نحن أنصار الله فآمنت طائفة من بني إسرائيل وكفرت طائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين.
Okay. Who are my helpers in the cause of Allah? This is what Jesus said. Then a group of the children of Israel believed and a group disbelieved. And here's the point of evidence. So we gave power to those who believed against their enemies, and they became the uppermost or the prevailing. Then he, rahimahullah, said, وَكُفْرُ النَّصَارَى, and the disbelief of the Christians regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and opposing the Muslims is greater than the kufr of the Jews in their mere disbelief in Jesus. Certainly, Jesus did not abrogate from the laws of the Torah except few. The rest of his Sharia is a reference to the Torah, to the Torah. However, most of the religion of the gist of the Christians had been innovated after Jesus. And as the case with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't refer anything of his Sharia to any other Sharia. قال الله تعالى, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 51, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَرَحْمَةً وَذِكْرَى لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse, is it not sufficient, verse 51, is it not sufficient for them that we have sent down to you the book, the Quran, which is recited to them? Verily herein is a mercy and reminder. Certainly it is sufficient. There is no relevance to other legislations, meaning it doesn't refer us to the Injil to take from it, neither it refers us to any other book to take from it. It's an independent book, completely independent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is a basic, just like the Torah, although it is greater than it. And that's why the scholars, the Christian scholars, used to compare Jesus and Musa, meaning Musa and Muhammad alayhi salam, as it is the case with the Najashi of Abyssinia, the king of the Christians. When he heard the Quran, he said, إن هذا والذي جاء به موسى ليخرج من مشكات واحدة. This and that which was brought by Musa, by Moses عليه السلام, ليخرج من مشكات واحدة. It comes from one single source. And that was said also by ورقة ابن نوفل. ورقة ابن نوفل from Quraysh, he was wise from the pagan Arabs before, then he abandoned the idol worshipping before Islam, and he didn't eat of any of the slaughtering that took place by the pagans, and then he became a Christian and read the books of Christianity, and he is a cousin of Khadija, Umm al-Mu'mineen. He met or he encountered the beginning of prophethood by the Prophet ﷺ, and this came in hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, which we all know. He himself, Waraq ibn Nawfal, was from the Christian Arabs, and he was a scholar in this respect. When he heard the wording of Rasulullah ﷺ regarding what he saw in his first encounters with Jibreel alayhi salam, he told him, here is the point, إِنَّهُ يَأْتِيكَ النَّامُوسِ, this is the one who keeps the secrets that is coming to you, referring to whom? To Jibreel alayhi salam, that which used to come to Musa. Then he said, يَا لَيْتَنِي فِيهَا جَدْعَ, I wish I will be جَدْعَ. جَدْعَ is refers to the young of cattle, and in this case it symbolizes يَا لَيْتَنِي فِيهَا جَدْعَ, and I wish that I will be young enough when your people will drive you out, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَهُمْ, will they drive me out? He said yes. لَمْ يَأْتِ أَحَدٌ بِمِثْلِ مَا أُوتِيتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُودِي, no one has ever come with that which you have came up with, except that he was opposed. وَإِنْ يُدْرِكُنِ يَوْمُكَ أَنْصُرُكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَذَّرًا, and if I have to meet that day of yours, then I will give you victory, sure victory, and help, and support. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links in the Quran, links the Torah and the Quran, as in his saying, فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا,
قالوا لولا أوتي مثل ما أوتي موسى أولم يكفروا بما أوتي موسى من قبل قالوا سحران تظاهرا.
This is in chapter 28 verses 48. Let's have them 48 and 49 one by one please. Jazakallah khair.
But when the truth, meaning Muhammad and his message, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come to them from us, they say, why is it he not given the like of what has given to Musa? What was given to Musa? Did they not disbelieve in that which was given to Musa of old? They say two kinds of magic, referring to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message, and Musa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message. And in Surah 28, verses 48 and 49 say, وَقَالُوا إِنَّا بِكُلِّ كَافِرُونَ. Verily here, in both we are disbelievers, they will say. قُلْ فَأْتُوا, then the response came. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَأَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا أَتَّبِعُهُ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Say to them, O Muhammad, then bring me a book from Allah which is a better guide than those two. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are really truthful. So, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah says and asserts, there isn't any book that came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أَهْدَى مِنَ التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. More guiding than the Torah and the Injil. And we remember, we should remember here when we talk about the Torah here in this sense, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah is referring the Torah in its original form. As to those Christians, the author of this letter, meaning Paul, that of Sidon, the Bishop of Sidon, he said, he wrote that in response to a request aiming at checking what the Christians in their different tongues and their widespread locations in the world, east and west, north and south and so forth, those living in islands and the seas and etc., and also that king of them from the Roman king whom he met, and those scholars that he talked to, they requested from him to write and to address what the Christians are referring to, that we have heard that a man from Arabia came by the name of Muhammad, saying that he is Rasulullah, that he is a messenger of Allah, and that he brought a book that he claimed that was sent to him from Allah, and that we have acquired this book and we have seen it. Then when they said, why don't you follow him, meaning why the Christians don't follow him, to follow Muhammad, especially when it is cited in the book, meaning the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And anyone who follows a deen other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and on the day of resurrection he will be amongst the losers. Their response said was because of many causes. And then he formulated his response, meaning the author, the bishop, and he wrote what he wrote in these chapters that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah mentioned earlier. And from the first was, here it is, that this book is Arabic and it is not in our tongue. And now they resort to what? To find proofs in the Quran to support their first claim. That first claim, it doesn't address us, it addresses the Arabs and it is not in our tongue. The book is Arabic and it is not in our tongue, as it is stated in the Quran. And now they cite some references in the Quran, like the saying of Allah, "Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan."
Surah Yusuf, chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2. Inna anzalnahu Quran in Arabic. Verily, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran in order that you may understand. This is one verse. This is what the Christians now are using as proofs for their claims. The second, bilisan in Arabic mubin. In Surah Al-Shu'ara 29, verse 195. Bilisan Arabi in mubin, with a clear Arabic tongue. Also, they cited the following verse in Surah Al-Shu'ara, also 198-199. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى بَعْضِ الْأَعْجَمِينَ فَقَرَأَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Let's have this text. Well, he left. Okay. All right. Jazakallah khair. This is 195. Now, 29. Okay. And if we had revealed it, this Quran, unto any of the non-Arabs, and he had recited it unto them, they would not have believed in it. This is their third evidence. This is number 26. Also, they cited or referred to the following verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ, which would be 2, verse 151. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Similarly, to complete my, we have sent among you a messenger of your own, reciting to you our verses and sanctifying you and teaching you the book and al-hikmah, which is etc., and teaching you that which you use not to know. So they cited the following verse, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent to you from among you, and the previous verses that it's in Arabic tongue. Also they cited in Surah Al-Imran, chapter 3, verse 164. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Chapter 3, verse 164. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. Indeed, Allah confirmed a great favor on the believers when He sent among them a messenger from among themselves. What did he do? Reciting unto them his verses, the Quran, and purifying them and instructing them in the book and in al-hikmah, wisdom, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning his ways, his statements, acts of worship, while before they had been in a manifest error. So again, he reciting unto them, instructing them, among them, he sent among them. Okay, also in Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 46. لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And you, O Muhammad, were not the side of the Torah when we did call it. And they answered his call Okay, but you are sent, this is the last part and this is the point of evidence, but you are sent as a mercy from your Lord to give warning to a people to whom no warner had come before, in order that they may remember or receive admonition. So you came to people whom had no warner before. The same also came in Surah Al-Sajda, also in Surah Yasin, لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ, so that you warn to a people whose forefathers were not warned and then they were heedless. So they said, after bringing all these points, the textual proofs, their textual proofs, they said, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَا هَذَا, when we saw this, in meaning in the Quran, عَلِمْنَا أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَأْتِ إِلَيْنَا, we knew then that he was not sent to us, meaning Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, بَلْ إِلَى جَاهِلِيَةِ الْعَرَبِ, but to the days of ignorance of the Arabians, to whom he is addressing and saying that no messenger, no warner had come before, and thus it is not abiding upon us to follow him. Why? Because we received a messenger before, and messengers before, they addressed us in our tongues and they warned us in our religion, which we are holding to up till our day, and they delivered to us the Torah and the Injil in our languages, and your book testifies, as in Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 4. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ, and we sent not a messenger except with the language of his people, in order that he might make the message clear for them. Then Allah misleads whom he wills and guides whom he wills. The rest of the verse. Also they cited Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 36. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا, I wish that my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, who are here, can make note of these things so that they will, inshallah, receive later the response of Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, for all of this, and there will be a great, great benefit for the believers in this. Then of them, and verily we have sent among every ummah, every community, a nation, a messenger, proclaiming worship Allah to the rest of the verse. Then of them were some whom Allah guided, and of them whom, upon whom the stray were justified. So the point they are making here is that, and verily we have sent among every ummah a messenger. So we got our messengers, so why should we need yours? And they also cited the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Rum, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ فَجَاءُوهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, Surah Al-Rum, chapter 30, verse 47. And indeed we did send messengers before you to their own peoples. فَجَاءُوهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ, they came to them with the clear proofs. So therefore, in your book now we know that it was sent to none except to the Arabs in their state of ignorance, of jahiliyyah. And as to the saying in your book, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, and anyone who seeks a religion other than Islam, then it will not be accepted from him, and on the day of resurrection he will be from amongst the losers. What's intended here by way of justice, his people, the Prophet's people, he came to them by their own language, not others. And we know that Allah is all just, and that he, okay, as yes. Well, we go as long as we can. So it's really, there isn't any sometimes we stay till 1 hour time, sometimes till 1:30, depending on which nights. So they said, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil, that He is just, all just, and it is not from His justice. Okay, no problem. It's not from His justice that He demands on the day of resurrection, demands from a community or from a nation to follow a man that was not sent to them, and that they take by a book that is not in their own tongue. These, Shaykh al-Islam now is saying, these are the exact wordings that came in the first chapter written by this bishop of Sidon, Paul, the bishop of Sidon. In this chapter, he said, they didn't come across anything regarding believing him or denying him. Rather, they asserted that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ameen wa iyyakum, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't say to them, I am sent to you. Rather, to the pagan Arabs, and that by intellect as well, that prevents from sending him to us. Then Shaykh al-Islam said the following, فَنَحْنُ نَبْدَأْ بِالْجَوَابِ, and thus now we start our response to this, وَنُبَيِّن, and make it clear that he صلى الله عليه وسلم informed that he is sent to them and to all mankind and jinn, and that he didn't say at all that he was not, he didn't say at all that he was not sent to them, and that in his book, meaning the Quran, that he is proclaiming ample evidence for that. And that the proofs that they based upon these ayat, these verses, وَالَّتِي غَلِطُوا فِي مَعْرِفَةِ مَعْنَاهَا, and in which they erred in knowing its meanings, and thus they abandoned all the abundant texts, explicit ones in the book, which shows that he is sent to them, in the same manner as they have done regarding the Torah, the Gospel, and the Psalms, and the words of the prophets, in such that they have abandoned the many texts, the abundant explicit texts, and they held to that which is mutashabih. See how this came? Now, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah is just amazing, how he, when he wants to deal with a subject, he lays the basis for it. And then you wonder while you are reading, and sometimes you say, why he is saying these things? What does this have to do with the subject? Then after a while, especially if you are patient, you will begin to realize the profound impact at the time when you reach these elements of his talk or of his discussion. And then he said here, حَيْثُ تَرَكُ النُّصُوصَ الْكَثِيرَ الصَّرِيحَ, they have left all the textual and explicit and abundant ones, and they held to all that which is mutashabih, which is not entirely clear, and thus they didn't know what it meant. And thus they didn't know what it meant. Here, inshallah, we stop. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, brother G-Fos. We stop here, inshallah, and then we'll begin, inshallah, tomorrow with Shaykh al-Islam, the detailed response for the first elements that you have heard and we have written regarding what the Christians thought to be evidences from the Quran supporting their claim that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not sent to them, and these are from your books, from the Quran. They claim and they testify, at least as we know now, to their point at least, that this represents that they have nothing to do with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since he was not sent to them, and the language that he used is not their language, and that they have received prophet before, and why should they leave their prophets to someone who was sent only to the Arabs alone? So inshallah, Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah had laid the foundation that they take by proofs in which they erred to understand their meaning, and they abandoned much of or all of the clear and explicit texts that are plenty in the Quran and on the tongue of the messengers, and they resorted to the mutashabih, that which is not entirely clear, to base their conclusion upon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ibn Taymiyyah for his greatest efforts serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.